everybody. This is Patrick Motes, sports writer for the Bellringer Track and Cross Country Athlete at Augusta University, with another edition of the Sports Squad from Bellringer Phoenix Media. Today on the Sports Squad, we will discuss AU golf, men's and women's, AU baseball and softball, and track and field along with tennis. I'm joined by fellow panelists Avery James and Justin Gray. Guys, welcome back from the break today. It's good to have y'all back. How's everybody been?
Good.
Very good.
Everybody have a restful break?
No.
But well, it's fine.
Kinda, yeah.
Yes, if you want to hear all about Justin's break, tune in to our second episode that we'll be taping here in a little bit. So we're going to open up with men's baseball first. So since we were last on the show they played at SRP. They had the CSU series coming up with Columbus State. They finished that one 1-3. They won one out of the three-game series. They lost the first one 7-18, and then they won the second one 9-8, and they lost the final one 3-4. So I'm sure that's probably a series they're going to want back, especially with that final game. It looked like it was a pretty close game. And then they traveled on up to Dahlonega and faced a very tough UNG team where they unfortunately did get swept, losing 2-4, 4-5, and 5-16. And then they also played Aiken, and they won. They won the first game of that series 14-4, but then I think that was up at Aiken, and they lost the next two 7-11 and 0-6.
Wow! I
didn't know that. And then last night they played Erskine and lost that matchup as well. And Erskine beat them in the beginning of the season as well too. So I don't think that one's going to sit well with them. But this season's getting tight now. They've got two series road trips coming up before the PBC tournament. They're going to be at Georgia Southwestern Friday through Sunday, playing a game each day. And then after that, they will be down in St. Augustine next week before the Peach Belt tournament starts. And whenever we figure out where that will be played, that's where they will be traveling to. So I'm sure that this is probably not how they're envisioning things, but this baseball team is still right in the mix for things. Like we've talked about before on the show, they can hit. The pitching has gotten better as the season has gone on. So maybe they can just get out of this little slump right now, right before the tournament starts and heat right on up. You guys got any thoughts on this as well?
I mean, you know, away games aren't necessarily their strongest suit. They're 5-10 with away games. So I think it's really important that they kind of bounce back. You know, three-game losing streak right now. So they're itching to get a win, especially, like you said, this season's coming to an end. It'll be interesting against GSW because they're 13-8 in conference, so they're sitting at fourth. They're tied for fourth with Columbus State, but they actually overall they have the second most wins overall. So I don't necessarily know who they've played, but it'll be an interesting matchup. But I think they just need to go in and get as many wins as they can and try and close out as best they can.
Well, it looks like I was peeking on your screen over here of the standings in the PBC. It looks like that they're right there with Flagler, so
they're tied right now.
You know,
yeah.
if they go in and like lose one game of the series against Georgia Southwestern, but if they can beat Flagler, like win that series as well, they're going to be sitting really nice. Like,
where's Southwestern at in the standings? They're picked to win the conference at the start of the year.
Fourth.
They're tied with fourth with Columbus State.
Who's in
right
first?
Now.
North Georgia.
Lander. 16-5, and
wow.
Then North Georgia's 14-7, and then they're tied with Georgia College, who's 14-7. So there's a three-way tie between second, third, and fourth, and fifth, technically. So I think everything is within striking distance for the Jags. They just got to put it all together and get as many wins as they can through these last two matchups.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, and hopefully they can. You know, we've seen this year they can play ball. We've seen this year they're more than capable of beating any of these teams. I mean, they went out and played hard against Georgia College, who's in the mix. They went out, unfortunately, that Columbus State series, you know, I'm sure they wanted to win that one because they would have been able to jump them in the rankings, but they can go and beat Flagler. They can go and beat any of these teams. I mean, you know, Aiken's a couple spots down on the list from them, and they've taken care of Aiken, you know, before. So they can still play, they can still win, and I think they will. I don't have any doubt of that in my mind. So I think that, they're probably working through some kinks right now. I mean, I'm not a baseball aficionado or anything, but, you know, I think they can work out of this and really, you know, get hot when they need to coming out of these last few weeks of regular season before the tournament. Moving on to softball. Softball gaining some ground here. So over the break, they took on Georgia College and lost the first two games 2-6 and 1-9, but they won the final one 9-7, and that series was on the road. The following week, they come back to Aiken, and they won the series against them. They won the first two games 5-4 and 4-2, and then losing that last one 5-6. So near sweep on Aiken, which is huge for them. And then yesterday afternoon, they played Southern Wesleyan here at home and pulled a series sweep on that one in that doubleheader, winning the first one 7-1 and winning the second one 7-6. So shout out to them for grabbing some much needed and very necessary wins to get themselves into position to make a run in the conference tournament. Now, that being said, they do have Flagler coming up on the road in their final this weekend on their final regular season series. Avery, where's Flagler sitting at right now in the conference?
Fourth in the conference right now. So definitely a higher ranking opponent. But just like baseball, if they get those wins, it'll definitely help propel them a little bit further into the tournament and maybe get a better matchup.
Who's sitting right in front of Augusta?
Georgia College, and they are tied.
Okay, they're tied.
Yes,
so
tied.
They win this, they get a couple of wins, and maybe they can jump up another spot. So hopefully they can catch some ground with that. I know we've discussed before that this is probably not the season they've been hoping for, and they've been battling some stuff, but to get those wins here at the end of the season, I know would mean a lot to them and the coaching staff and the group and those group of seniors. So hopefully they can get those, and we'll be interested and excited and be rooting for them when they get into the PBC tournament. You're listening to the Sports Squad from Bell Ringer Phoenix Media. So next up, we got track coming up. Track season is in full swing, and it is getting ready to kind of sort of ish come to a close. We're nearing the championship season,
championship/postseason.
So going into spring break, Avery and I raced at Lee University. Avery, you know, shattered his own school record in the 10K, running a whopping 30.04 in the 10K. Which is 15.02 for back-to-back 5Ks, if we're going to even split that, which is phenomenal. His previous one was 30.19, so he broke that by 15 seconds, which is phenomenal. Avery, do you want to talk about that 10K a little bit?
I mean, yeah. 10K is 25 laps around the track, so it's a lot.
yeah, Justin's face right now.
you know, we went in expecting it to be a little bit deeper competition. I guess that was for every race, though, honestly. Usually Lee is a very competitive race.
It
this
is.
This year, not so much.
You just blew them all out.
Not necessarily, but
they had a pacer.
Yeah, they did have a pacer. He wasn't very consistent. We were supposed to hit 71 seconds per lap. It would pretty much dip. Like, first lap was 71, and then the second lap was like 73 or 74, and I was like, what are we doing? So he was a little inconsistent. I did PR, so I was happy with that. I did feel out of it a little bit. Like, I just couldn't focus in and zone out like I usually like to do.
Focus in and zone out. Well, that's something I've never heard before.
Focus
but I like
on the right.
It.
This man just said he wasn't feeling it and set a record. So he's up here flexing. He's like, the competition wasn't that good, and I ran my best, but I didn't feel very good that day.
Yeah. It was mediocre performance. I shattered my own record. This man is Scotty Scheffler over here, man.
I'm happy with the time, but yeah, I think I could have done a lot better. So I think this postseason after conference, I'm gonna have one more go at it. And see if I can go sub 30 and maybe get closer to potentially competing at the national level. So we'll see.
Do you get bored running for 30 minutes? Like, is it just like a thing where you're just like, all right.
Usually I zone out. Not this time. This time I knew like every lap I was on. So it was a little bit of a struggle.
That's got to get loaned. Like, when you start calculating laps in your head, it's like, 20 more.
Yeah, 10 laps in, and you're like, I got a lot longer to go.
Well, it got kind of chilly up there, too.
It did get a little chilly.
The wind was kind of kicking up a little bit. And when I mean kicking up a little bit, the wind was kicking.
Yeah.
And it was chilly up there. And especially when that sun went down, I'm sitting there, I'm like, ooh.
So is there any more events going on while y'all are doing it? Like, is there, like...
So 10K is the last race, so it's night. Most people left.
It's jumping at like 8:30 at night, man.
Nobody wants to watch a 10K race, so it's like... I got all the Augusta guys cheering, the Augusta girls cheering, and then there's like a few random people that are just there. Like,
parents are there, and that's about it.
That's about it. So it's pretty boring. I'm not gonna lie, it is a pretty boring race if you can't zone out. And like I said, my plan was to just sit with like a pack, and then I ended up being in like right behind the pacer, and I was like, what's going on? So, you know, I'm happy with the time, but I definitely think I could do better. So
he's sitting there playing his script for the sports squad while he's running his tank.
He's sitting there. That'd be one way to zone out of
thinking
it.
About
stuff.
Tiger
don't
and
tell
Scotty.
Him this show is scripted. This show is not scripted at all. Never would be. Oh, what are you doing, Justin?
So, yeah, I was happy with it, but I'm going to get one more shot, and that's the goal, is to go sub 30. Hopefully, coach is going to try and get me a pacer, whether that's someone on the team or he might see if someone that he knows that actually paces like professionally will kind of help me go
Patrick.
Through it.
You're Patrick.
I would love to see Patrick in a 10K.
No, we're not doing that. We're not opening that can of worms right now. All right. And never will. That can of worms is going to stay shut, locked up in the back of the cupboard.
Speaking
dude.
Of Lee, too, Patrick also raced. Let's not forget that. Patrick ran the 5K, a very good 5K, if I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me about that.
I did. I ran 14:37, which was a 5-second PR, which I was thrilled with.
Were you feeling it? Because he wasn't. Were you feeling
actually,
it?
Actually, I kind of okay. was. I was kind of feeling it.
Patrick was definitely feeling it. He looked smooth.
I was actually kind of feeling it. Like, the interesting thing is, like, so we're sitting there in the start line, and the pacer, who I think was the same pacer for your race, so he might have been kind of cooked already.
Maybe that's why he was struggling.
If it was the same, it was, like, kind of like...
Atlanta Track Club guy.
Yeah, white dude.
No offense to Atlanta Track Club, but yeah.
Well, for me, I was very grateful the pacer was there because we're sitting on the start line. He goes, "All right, guys, I'm taking us out." And I'm like, "I ain't going to be with you, but thanks." And but it was good. It was finally a good race that like I was in a really solid pack that went out. We've been struggling in some of the races that we've been to where like it's hard these days to sometimes find races that just go. And so this race just went. And so we opened up in like 68 and I was like, okay, perfect. This is right where we need to be. And so there was the thing about that race was like, it was super windy during the 5K on the backstretch. So if you ever got detached from the pack, your race was just, it was cooked, man. There was nothing else you could do because you were not going to survive that race and run fast by yourself. So I had to make a couple of moves to make sure I stayed with the pack and make sure I like stayed in it. Like this race, I definitely had to think and make sure that like I didn't let go of the pack or zone out or go sleepy or anything like that. Even though it's, you know, it's still 12 and a half laps, like it's still a decent amount of laps. But I was really happy with it. I was glad to get under the 14:40 barrier, which I was thrilled about. But it felt good too. Like it felt pretty like smooth for a race. I'm gonna say smooth for a race because like it's still hard and uncomfortable, but like for a race, like I was happy with it. And it was good weather too for my race, even though it was a little windy. But on the field side, our man Ryan Lee breaking the school record in the javelin. What do you think of it? Threw like 53 meters.
It was crazy.
Yeah, he chucked
for javelin.
That thing.
It was crazy.
Man, he's throwing like a pointed pole 53 meters, man. This guy can sling it, dude. So a special shout out to him for breaking that record. He was close to it too. Like it was like the other week he was like real close to it. And so he was knocking on that door.
Do y'all do shot put too?
Or no, I don't there? Do shot put.
Well, not y'all, but is there somebody on the team?
Yeah,
we have shot put
guys.
I like to watch shot put.
Yeah. That is a pretty cool event. It was a lot of good performances at Lee, I think, even though some people like I said, some people were expecting to do a little bit better. They still did very well.
Yep.
So
we did have one guy with a massive PR.
Yes, Thomas Richard in the 10K. He is now the second all-time 10K-er.
Yep.
Running a 30:27, which is a huge PR.
For those who don't know him, his street name is the Cordial Flash. So,
so he did very well. We had a ton of other guys in the 10K, a lot of new guys running the 10K. 5K guys did good.
Yep.
All around, it was a good performance from the team, guys and girls, huge PRs on both sides. So I think that was a good motivational booster. Like we said, the first meet, some people didn't run exactly what they wanted to. So going into this one, even though the competition wasn't what we expected, they still went out, ran hard, PR'd, did what we were supposed to do. And I think it was a good booster, for, you know, motivation going into this next meet that we have this weekend at Georgia Tech, which is going to be very, very, very competitive. So I think we're all excited to go out there and race.
Everybody
really hard.
And their mother will be at this meet.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be so, so big. Like, I'm racing the 1500 in this meet, and I'm pretty sure with men's and women's, coach, like, unless I completely misunderstood him, so please do not put all the credit on me for this. I'm pretty sure there's an hour and a half worth of heats for the 1500.
Probably. There's usually you don't see multiple heats of like the 5K. Usually they can put, you know, like 40 to 50. 50 people's kind of pushing it, like 30 to 40.
In a 5K race?
I would think so.
No.
You don't think so? 40 people's a lot on the track for a 5K.
Wait. So are you...
I'm saying
that's what they're doing at this meet?
Well, I'm saying like usually you can fit around that range people on the track, but they have to do two. There's supposed to be two heats now, which is a huge number they're of
gonna
5K
put,
runners.
It's going to be like one of those races. I feel like this race is notorious for like if you race the 5K to 10K, you got to get out because there's going to be 50 people on the
there's
track.
There's a lot of people.
Like there's going to be packing people on, like sardines
I think
on the
there's
line.
Two heats of the 5K for the girls, two heats for the men, and then like you said, 15 is like one of the most popular races on the track, so dude, it's going to be very busy.
And coach was telling me the women's 5K is at 9:15 at night.
And the men are after that. So we will be racing.
You're going to have to eat dinner.
Yeah, Friday night lights is like pitch black night.
It's going to be like Friday night bedtime is what it's
going to
be.
Yeah, it's going to be a very
will
late night.
Will y'all stay up there or have to drive?
We will
Lord,
not.
No, we ain't stay
so
up.
It'll probably be coaches estimated around like 2 a.m. return
It's not
going
to be as bad as Lee, though. We drove back from Lee.
Yeah.
And like we...
Isn't that 4 hours?
Pushing five. We got back at like 3:30. Like it wasn't...
Is that in Cleveland, Tennessee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to bed till like 4:30 that morning.
Nice.
Yeah. And I dozed a little bit on the van, but it, at least like Atlanta's like two... We're just going to go a little over 2 hours away.
Yeah.
So it'll
be
quite
a good day,
long.
I think. And George Tech has a really nice track. So I think everybody's excited.
Nice track.
Especially a highly competitive meet.
Yes.
Very, very competitive. So I think we're all ready to kind of get pulled to a good time.
Because this is the last meet before a conference championship.
Week after next.
Patrick gets to miss class. He's excited.
I do get to miss class.
Yeah, conference is
so
on a
excited.
Weird schedule this year where we're racing Monday and Tuesday. Which is normally like what was it? Thursday, Friday. Sorry.
So we always get the weekend, but now we got to travel. We'll get into
that
next week.
Yeah, it's a strange schedule.
It is a strange schedule. But regardless, it was a good week for everybody on the track team and stuff.
It's going to be a good week this week as well.
It's going to be a great week this week, and everybody's gearing up for the conference championship. You're listening to the Sports Squad from Bellringer, Phoenix Media. So tennis coming up. Women's team has been pretty busy since our last show, playing Lander, winning 6-1, but taking two hard losses to UNG 1-6 and Georgia College 1-6 as well. They play the Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College, otherwise known as ABAC, today at 2 p.m. And the men play ABAC as well today at 2 p.m. Before the break, the men's team played two matches, playing Georgia College, winning 5-2, and then falling the next match to Troy University 1-6. So they'll be playing today at 2:00. So we will talk about that next week on our show. We're gonna wrap up with our big stories here at AU right now. We're gonna open up with the men's golf. They played at the Mossy Oak Collegiate, which was hosted by Mississippi State in Georgia. Don't ask me about that. Yeah, don't ask me about
that. That works.
Yeah, so they're going to be getting ready for the Southland Conference Championships, which is the 22nd through the 24th, which is coming up here in a few days. So they'll be getting ready for that. But they finished 7th place. I'll be honest, I can't tell you how many teams because the stupid website is not working. So please, I'm really sorry out there, but the stupid website.
Good number. Let's just say like around in the teens probably. I feel like that's a normal number for a big tournament.
So
yeah,
I think they were finished like around middle of the pack or a little bit forward. Ryan Vanderklist stayed out in front for the Jags, shooting 3 over 75 in the final round, finishing tied for 7th, shooting 5 under. Cole Stevens fired a round of 72 to finish tied for 18th at 2 under par for the tournament. Stefan Jacobs turned in a 75, shooting 3 over in Tuesday's final round and close play tied for the 44th. Dean Wilkins shot a 74, shooting 2 over to finish tied for 60th. And then Dawson Booth rounded out AU squad, finishing 66 after shooting a 76, shooting +4 in the final round. So they will be getting ready for the Southland Conference Championships, which moves us into the women's golf. Justin, take us away.
Yeah, so the Augusta women's golf is already in the Southland Conference Championships because usually when you have a men and women's sport, the women's do it a week or two before. You see that with softball and baseball coming up too. But Yeah, Augusta's blowing out the field. They're currently in action today. They're through nine holes, and Augusta is now has a 60-stroke lead on the next best
team.
Who's
in this conference?
Texas A&M Commerce, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, Houston Christian, Texas. Lamar, Bryant University, and Incarnate Word. Who? Bless their hearts. Probably should not have a golf team. And that's putting it. That's putting it
in a respectful
nicely,
in a respectful way.
Respectfully, yeah. Respectfully.
363 strokes over par as a team. You know, maybe
I don't know how that happens. They're putting up like football numbers.
Maybe, you know, we'll move on. But back to the main topic is Augusta. They're only five over par. So, been really good. We've seen this team. This will be the third straight conference championship.
Justin, quit looking at me like that, dude. Okay, anyways. So, they're shooting crazy. And they're going to be the regional tournament, right?
Yes, because if they win the Southland Conference for the third straight year, they'll be in the NCAA Regionals. But as far as the players go, Kennedy Carroll, who has led this team all year, is one under today through six holes, and she's seven under for the tournament.
Holy crap.
Jeez. Yeah.
Jeez.
She's beaten another Augusta player who is three over, which is Napabak Boonen. We're going to have her come on so she can pronounce that, because I don't want to be mispronouncing that. But anyway, and then in fifth and sixth for Augusta is Victoria Zhang and Daniela Burgos, who are six over and nine over par. So Augusta's, you know, rounding out the top 10 by themselves.
So we have an Augusta person in first place right now, correct?
Yes, Kennedy Carroll. Yes.
Kennedy Carroll, okay, that's what I saw.
She's dominated the tournament. Yeah. Very impressive.
Seven under par in women's college golf is very impressive.
That's, yeah, wow.
We may see her, you know, like at the amateur next year, the AN, what's it called? Augusta National Women's Amateur, ANWA is what they
call
it.
That would be a story in itself. Would be cool. That would be phenomenal.
Mirabelle Ting played in it this year.
She did. I was wondering about that, actually.
She finished, I think, top 10, top 15.
That's very impressive.
Wow.
Yeah, shot even par. It was very impressive, but, you know, we've had some talk. We've talked about her before on the show. She's at Florida State now. I think a Florida State player won the tournament. Dang. I'm not really sure. But anyway, back to Augusta. Yeah, so they're set up to go to the NCAA Regionals. Okay. It's, you know, it hasn't been close. Day one, they were up 16 or 18 strokes. And then day two, they just, I mean, they got up by 53. I mean,
that's crazy.
And now they're up 60 today. So, I mean, just an impressive performance. But, you know, it's what you love to see if you follow golf. They've dominated this conference.
Is this a team that we're going to see in the national championship, or I don't know how the regional tournament works.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'll do some studying before we come on next week, and I'll give you a better answer.
Okay.
Because I don't know exactly how. Usually with NCAA regionals, you have to place a certain, like maybe top five or something, and then go into another one, and then into. So it's usually like a three-step process when you get into baseball, golf, stuff like that, in the NCAA stuff. So I will do some digging and research, and next week I'll be more prepared as far as that goes, and we'll give you a blueprint
on
how they...
I put you on the spot.
Yeah,
my
you did. You did, but it's okay.
I like to test your knowledge on this show sometimes.
You know, I had some knowledge prepared, but then, you know, I get put on the spot with some different knowledge. No, it's fine.
Educate me with your current knowledge that you have.
No, I've already told you about
it. I don't think we've been educated.
But, so next week I'll have a blueprint on how they can make the Nationals and all that. I think there's a team side of it and a player side of it, so we could see like a Kennedy Carroll probably go to the Nationals. If you remember last year, I think Mirabelle Ting did.
Yeah.
She was an All-American, so... You know, maybe we see that. We'll see. I don't really know. But I will definitely find out. And next week, be ready, because I'm going to have a segment.
We're going to be ready. We're going to have a whole segment ready. So, I mean, that is phenomenal to see them absolutely dominating this conference. They will be bringing home the hardware. I think we can just go ahead and confidently say they will be bringing home.
And unless lightning strikes all of them on the field, on the course, then there's absolutely no way they can shoot 60 over par through the next 13 holes. So,
gosh, they could put me out there and I could still go.
Okay, let's not go.
I'm terrible at golf. That's what I'm saying.
We could probably maybe beat the last place team.
Yeah, I think us three, like you take us three and like, because you have to have a team, duplicate us. So like six of us three. I think that we probably beat Incarnate Word. Just say
we could probably just putt the ball. And
if you're listening to this, we're challenging you, so bring it on.
We officially declare this challenge upon
they send
you.
That's an email.
Incarnate Word. Is that their name?
Yes.
Incarnate Word. I officially announce this challenge to take you guys on.
If you keep up with college football, Cam Ward, who played at Washington State and transferred to Miami this year, is from Incarnate Word. So,
fun fact of the day.
There you go, fun fact.
Wow, that is a phenomenal fun fact. We thank you
more
very
knowledge.
Much for that one.
There you go.
Even more knowledge. Gosh, the knowledge man over here today. Okay, well, thank you for listening with us today and bearing through us with this show. A big thanks to our panelists, Avery James and Justin Gray, for coming on the show today. We'll be back next week with another episode. The Sports Squad is a production of Bellringer Phoenix Media. Jasmine Garcia is the TV Slab coordinator and producer. Brianna Law is the assistant producer, and Dr. David Bullitt is the coordinating producer. We are coming to you from the TVC Lab in Augusta University and on the Somerville campus. The opinions stated here are those of the individuals, not Augusta University. You can find us at aubellringer.com, on the Augusta Press website, on Spotify, and on social media. Please send your comments to bellringerproduction@gmail.com. Have a great day and listen again soon. This is Patrick Moat saying so long. Back at you next week. We're out.